Blog Talk Radio.
Trouble double double. Trouble double double. Shoodle up. Come Rosie, tell me to come. So she didn't have a daughter, so she did have a son. She said the lift doesn't work, run up the stairs and come. And if it don't come quick, you're not gonna know that plan. So I grab a bunch of clothes and I started to run. Here I come, whoa. 2 months later, she said come and get your son. Cause I don't want your baby to come tie me down. Now because you are old and I am young. Yes, while I'm young, yes, I wanna have some fun. Run me down, should live out. She did have a son. She said the lift doesn't run. Run up the stairs and come. And if it don't come quick, then I'm gonna see your son. So I grab a bunch of clothes and I started to run. Here I come. Whoa. 2 months later, she said, come and get your son. Cause I don't want your baby.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, when the revolution comes. I hope pearly white teeth fall off the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end. And nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be fought supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall off the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, Jew merchants will give away matzo balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Stiffen will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, afros gonna be trying to straighten their heads, and straighten heads gonna be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes.
But until then, you know and I know niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit.
Liberation of oppressed people in the United States has to do not with climbing up some ladder to success, not for asking to be just like Rockefeller or just like DuPont or just like Ford, because that would only continue the oppression and exploitation of oppressed people in the United States, and specifically African people born and raised in the United States. Socialism is an integral part of building social justice on this planet. The condition of my people, my history, was very much connected with other oppressed people, and I began to see that the same foot that was on the necks of the Vietnamese people, that was on the necks of all oppressed people on the planet, was the same foot that was on my neck. And so I began to understand that imperialism has to go. It is a poison that is killing people all over this world. The priorities of this planet have to be completely changed. And instead of profits, instead of policies that destroy the earth, that destroy the water, that destroy human beings, I believe a policy that protects people, that makes people live in a community, a world community. That's what I believe. That's my basic political commitment.
When we talk about capitalism, who are the capitalists? As if we understand that there are only a few people who own and control the means of production in the society, then we begin to understand that there are a few capitalists. And these capitalists exploit everybody because everybody works for them. Everybody sells their labor to them. It is by selling your labor to a capitalist that he's really able to exploit you. Instead of going through theories, let me give some direct example. Let's say that I'm a capitalist. And let's say that I sell shirts. I have a shirt factory. Let's say this is my factory. I own it. The machinery. I have a place where I get cotton. Now I own it. I'm the capitalist. And let's say you are my workers. You are my workers. You don't know me. You never see me. You see my lackeys, you know, maybe my foreman, but you never see me. Now, let's say it costs me 50 cents for cotton for every shirt I make. And let's say it costs me 50 cents for upkeep of my machinery. That's a dollar. And let's suppose I pay you a dollar for every shirt you make. That means it costs me $2 to get a shirt, labor included, your labor. I pay you for making the shirt. Now, when I sell the shirt, being a capitalist, and you must know something about capitalism, very important, the sole motivating force in a capitalist society is profit. Profit. That is the sole motivating force. Profit. Get money. Get it. Get it as fast as you can. Get it any way you can, but get it. Just get it. Just get it. And even in the African community, this it affects us here in this country because Africans, those of us living in America, those of us born in America, we are imbued with the philosophy of capitalism, and sometimes we don't even recognize it. Thus, you find brothers and sisters even selling dope to their brothers and sisters to make money. Again, because we're imbued with the philosophy of get some money. Ain't nothing wrong to kill for money. Hell, your country is napalming for money. You can certainly kill for some money. All right, just get it. Just get it. It's the overall philosophy. When we talk about revolution, we must talk about changing values. We must talk about changing values, and we must understand these values. To the shirt factory. I've not forgotten. I'm just going to tie it in. I'll tie it in for you. I'll tie it in. You will see, you must look under the shirt factory, too. You must look for spiraling economy. That's very important, spiraling economy. I sell the shirt for $5. I sell the shirt for $5. I don't do anything. You're the one who makes the shirt. I'm exploiting your labor. You toil. You sweat. I get the fruit. That's right. I get it. But you grow it. You plant it by the sweat of your brow. I get it. I sell the shirt for $5. I am exploiting your labor. I really am exploiting your labor. I mean, even when you want a shirt, hey, you got to come to my store and buy the shirt for $5. Hey, I really am exploiting you. Now, you're workers, you're in a factory, so you begin to get social consciousness. Yes, you do. Marx talks about this. Because you're working together, you see the socialized process, the laboring process, and you're able to see clearly how you're being exploited. So you get together. And you start talking about, we want more money. So you tell my foreman we want more money. So the foreman comes to see me. He says, the workers say they want more money. Later for them. Keep them working, man. So he comes back, no raise. They all work, but you all get a little bit more agitated, you know, because it's scientific. The pressure rises, and as the pressure rises, the consciousness must rise. It's scientific. It can't be stopped. That's why revolution can't be stopped. Then you say, hey, look here. We're going to strike. So the foreman comes back and says, hey, they say they're going to strike. I say, oh, let them strike, man. And sure enough, y'all strike. Yeah, y'all strike on me. Now, when you strike, of course, my machinery stops. I ain't making no money. So after a while, I call my foreman. I said, what do they want? He says, well, they said they want $1.50 more a shirt. They want 50 cents more a shirt. So I said, okay, let them have it. So I'll bring you back. You happy? I pay you $1.50 more. Right. So it now costs me $2.50 to make a shirt. It cost me $2.50 to make a shirt. Before it cost me $2, I was selling it for $5. But hey, look here. I can't go out there and keep selling it for $5. Hey, how am I going to do that? I'm going to lose profit. And look here. Since the sole motivating force in a capitalist system is profit, ain't no need for me to come and sell it for $5.50. Hey, no. Next time you see that shirt on the market, it's going to cost you $7.50. Right. Right. And that's what's known as the spiraling economy, because profit is what about wages go up into demands of the workers and prices rocket. Wages go up, prices rocket. And it keeps going and going and going until it's got to blow the top. It's scientifically real. That's why Nixon is talking about freezing wages and freezing prices. He's stupid. You got to freeze capitalism, Nixon. Freeze capitalism. That's the problem. That's the problem. Yeah, that's the problem. You must understand these concepts, because once you begin to understand them and master them, you will see the inevitability of revolution. Not only the inevitability of revolution, but you will see the inevitability of victory for the struggling masses around the world once you understand the scientific principles of revolution. Once you understand
it. The Black Panther Party that they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You've got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the pastors are doing. That's what the pastors are doing all over the world.
As I get a little older, I realize life is perspective. And my perspective may differ from yours. I want to say thank you to everyone that's been down with me. All my fans, all my beautiful fans. Anyone who's ever gave me a listen. All my people.
I come from a generation of pain where murder is minor. Rebellious and more jealous, a chip you for designer. Belt buckles and cloud overzealous and prone to violence. Make the wrong turn, be your will of alignment. Residue burn, mist at the inner city. Miscommunication to keep homo detector busy. No protection is risky, desensitized. I vandalize pain, covered up and camouflage. Get used to hearing arsenal rain. Analyze, risk your life, take the charge. Homies, don't fuck your baby mama once you hit the yard. That's culture, 23-hour lockdown. Then somebody calls that your little nephew was shot down. The culture involved. I done seen niggas do 17, hit the halfway house, get out and get his brains blown out, looking to buy some weed, car washes played out, new GoFundMe accounts to proceed, a brand new victim, a shatter those dreams, the culture. To let y'all know what a nigga look like in a bulletproof rover. In my mama's sofa was a doodle popper. Hair trigger, walk up closer. Ain't no photoshopping. Friends bipolar. Grab you by your pocket. No option if you froze up. I always play the offense. Niggas going to work and selling work. Late for work. Working late, praying for work, but he on paperwork. That's the culture. Point the finger, promote ya. Remote location, witness protection. They gon' hold ya. The streets got me fucked up. Y'all can miss me. I wanna represent for us. New revolution, what's up and moving? I'm in Argentina, wiping my tears, full of confusion. Water in between us, another peer's been executed. History repeats again, make amends, then find a nigga with the same skin to do it. But that's the culture, crack a bottle. Hard to deal with the pain, we are sober. By tomorrow, we forget the remains, we start over. That's the problem, our foundation was trained to accept whatever follows. Dehumanized, insensitive, scrutinized, the way we live for you and I. Enemy shook my hand, I can promise I'll meet you. In a land where no equal is your equal, never say I ain't told ya. Nah, in a land where hurt people hurt more people, fuck calling it culture.
I want you to help me. I want the
celebrate new life when it come back around. The purpose is in the lessons we learning now. Sacrifice personal gain over everything, just to see the next generation better than ours. I wasn't perfect, the skin I was in that truly suffered. Temptation and patience, everything that the body nurtures. I felt the good, I felt the bad, and I felt the worry. But all in all, my productivity has stayed urgent. Face your fears, always knew that I would make it here. Where the energy is magnified and persevered. Consciousness is synchronized and crystal clear. Euphoria is glorified and made his. Reflecting on my life and what I done. Paid dues, made rules change out of love. Them same views made schools change curriculums. But didn't change me staring down the barrel of that gun. Should I feel resentful? I didn't see my full potential. Should I feel regret about the good that I was into? Everything is everything, this ain't coincidental. I woke up that morning with more heart to give you. As I bleed through the speakers, feel my presence. To my brother, to my kids, I'm in heaven. To my mother, to my sis, I'm in heaven. To my father, to my wife, I'm serious, this is heaven. To my friends, make sure you count them blessings. To my fans, make sure you make them investments. And to the killer that spared at my demise, I forgive you, just know your soul's in question. I seen the pain in your pupil when that trigger had squeezed. And though you did me gruesome, I was surely relieved. I completed my mission, wasn't ready to leave. But fulfilled my days, my creator was pleased. I can't stress how I love y'all. I don't need to be in flesh just to hug y'all. The memories recollect just because y'all. Celebrate me with respect, the unity we protect is above all. And Sam, I'll be watching over you. Make sure my kids watch all my interviews. Make sure you live out our dreams we produce. Keep that genius in your brain on the move. And to my neighborhood, let the good prevail. Make sure them babies and the leaders out of jail. Live for salvation when troubles get real. Cause you can't help the world until you help yourself. And I can't blame the hood the day that I was killed. You had to see it, that's the only way to feel. And though my physical won't reap the benefits, the energy they carry on admit still, I want you.
Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up.
stop hip hop. Make your head bob, bounce to this socialist movement. My environment made me the nigga I am. Uncle Sam came and got me and the rest of my fam. Try to infiltrate and murder off the best of my clan. I'm not American, punk, Democrat, or Republican. Remember that. Most of the cats, you know, be hustling. My mama worked all her life and still struggling. I blame it on the government and say it on the radio. What? And if you don't already know, all these Uncle Tom ass kissing niggas got to go.
Our African brothers have gained their independence faster than you and I here in America have. They've also gained recognition and respect as human beings much faster than you and I. Just 10 years ago on the African continent, our people were colonized. They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of nation. And in a short time, they have gained more independence, more recognition, more respect as human beings than you and I have. And you and I live in a country which is supposed to be the citadel of education, freedom, justice, democracy, and all of those other pretty sounding words. We want freedom by any means necessary. We want justice by any means necessary. We want equality by any means necessary. We don't feel that in 1964, living in a country that is supposedly based upon freedom and supposedly the leader of the free world, we don't think that we should have to sit around and wait for some segregationist congressmen and senators and a president from Texas in Washington, D.C. to make up their mind that our people are due now some degree of civil rights. No, we want it now or we don't think anybody should have.
I got loyalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison.
Yuhuru, black power, black nation. You're tuned into In Defense of the People, Tuesday night broadcast at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, People's Political Party National Chair, Nat Turner, co-host, National Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland, myself, and our engineers on the ones and twos, Sister Amina, National Minister of Communications. Calling each and every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time at 845-277-9266. Press 1 to participate. Tonight's topic, democracy or fascism? Is it democracy or fascism? We're going to open up our phone lines to our national chair, Nat Turner. Yuhuru and black power and all power to the people, comrade. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, bro?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? Right on.
You can hear me?
Brother. Yeah, I got you loud and clear for the time being.
Yeah, you're
in
right.
Case until we may have some strange occurrences on the line. You know, but, yeah. Is it democracy or is it fascism? got to run to that title that we've been talking
Black
during
power,
the week.
Chairman.
Yeah, right on. You can hear me?
Yeah, and forgive me, but for those who don't know, today is People's Political Party birthday. 2 years strong. Black power.
Right on. Right on. That was You know what I'm saying? But yeah. Talking during the week about on the red things, like the latest things that's going on in the black world, you know, in this country, different around the country. Some of these things we've been involved with, you know, what we say, like, you know, advancing, you know, the struggle, or some would say the cause, and it's cool, you know. But you know, you get to a point where, like, some of us, like, let me say, like, you know, some of us have been around long enough to know the difference between the real and bullshit. You know, some of us have reached conclusions that we feel conclude, explanations that explain. We've arrived at slogans. Some may see in the eyes of a philosopher or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But it's revolutionary in detail, such as, you know, there are three types of people. Those who don't know what's happening, those who let things happen, and those who make things happen, you know, in this world. And it's a combination of not understanding, fully understanding, or in the process of fully understanding. And so you reach conclusions as an individual from your own experiences with society, with the different sectors of this so-called system, you know, food, clothing, shelter, you know, medical treatment, and so forth, you know, medicine and school, whatnot, you know, just the various things in society, you know, as a relationship with each other as individuals, collectively with the groups, the different so-called groups in this country, all under the roof of a particular type of system. The system that drives everything, the system that dictates everything. It dictates to the people. It determines how the people are going to end up living. It's going to shape, you know, how they live, their existence, their position within society, right? And so just the latest things that, you know, have been taking place or recent or current affairs, and is you know, usually some, you know, usually involves some police officer or officer involved shooting, you know, carefully worded language to define an incident, you know, involving a so-called police officer. More times not, it's you know, it's racial, you know, even that in itself, racism, prejudice, discrimination, you know, on the job, various forms of, like I say, interaction with some business or some corporate entity or something like that. And so say all of that, you know, to say it is that whether or not we live in a democracy, we can question, is that true or not? And so we've got around to many an example to bring forth and see whether or not we actually live in a democracy. Usually, or the linchpin, which seems to cement this notion of living in democracy, has been thrown full blast on the vote. We've been made to believe that if the citizen can't vote, or if there's no voting system, then it's no democracy. You know, but is that necessarily true? You know, is that necessarily true? You know, in school, in college, there's a particular field of study, a particular branch of study, that, you know, certain people indulge themselves in, or certain people, you know, have a sort of knack for, and that is referred to as philosophy, you know, philosophy class. And it has been those who have studied or have gotten under their belt this so-called science of philosophy, and have been the ones who have determined whether or not people, groups, or whatever, or an individual lives under so-and-so a system and have labeled it and given it a definition and whatnot. And so this definition of democracy has been thrown over solely on the vote, or 99% on the vote. And this perception, this internalization, or is internalizing democracy as a government where the system or the people under that system has the so-called right to vote. Therefore, it's a democracy. Now, those who have been the proprietors of the state, the CEOs of the state, have their own mode of operation, which has nothing to do with voting. I can't make this shit up. This is no fantasy on my part. And when we say the state, we mean the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police. The people don't vote for certain positions and certain peoples and whatnot, you know, in certain arenas. You're the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police. Now, of those four, which one you don't vote for? Which one you don't vote in? Think about that for a second. Of the four, which one you don't vote in? The people don't vote in the CEO of Goldman Sachs. The people don't vote in the CEO of Wells Fargo. The people don't vote in the CEO of JP Morgan Chase and the other financial corporations or financial magnates who have gotten themselves in such a position that they don't really need laws. They don't really need amendments. There's an old saying that is heard once said that the forefather of the Rothschild family had been known to say, "Give me control of that nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws." Now, for someone to make that comment, he would have had to known what he was talking about. He would have to have understood the system in a total different perspective than the usual orthodox understanding in the mind of the average so-called American who's been told that he lives in a democracy because he can take part in government via the vote. But why would old man Rothschild make that statement if it wasn't valid or if it carried any weight? He either knew what he was talking about or he was talking out the side of his ass. One or the other. And so if we take a look at that and apply that to modern times from a statement that was made somewhere in the 1770s or 80s or something like that, it would have you 90s or whatever, and look at it today and see whether or not that statement was valid then and that the statement is valid today. But the businessman is the only man whom the people do not get a chance to vote in. The people also do not or have nothing to do with selecting the Federal Reserve Chief or the Federal Reserve Chairman, Chairman of the Board. He is selected by the incoming or new president who once elected in the democratic process of voting becomes the president. Now, this president selects this person to be his Federal Reserve chair. But ask yourself, brother, sister, and any other, do you know what the Federal Reserve is? Do you understand what the Federal Reserve is? Do you understand or have any knowledge of the function of the Federal Reserve? Why is there a Federal Reserve? The moment that the Federal Reserve was created was the minute that white people lost what they originally thought they had possessed as a democracy. I can't make this shit up. The Federal Reserve is the sister branch or the cousin or perhaps even an offspring of what is known as the Bank of England. And so the people in Greater Britain or Great Britain or whatever you want to call it, England or what have you, operates under a so-called parliament, but there's also the British crown, the queen, the king, the prince, and so forth. So what was and what is the Bank of England, which gave rise to the Federal Reserve? The Federal Reserve is a central bank. And what is the role of a central bank? When one discovers and learns and understands the role of a central bank, one comes into a contradiction with democracy. If democracy is something that's based on the people, which we have explained in the root origin of the term democracy from this so-called Greek term demos, that we who understand and know better stand that that term was a term that was copied from the ancient black population that lived and built the civilization of what is now today referred to as Egypt. One of the names of the one God that the black population in ancient Kemet understood was the equivalent of what they know as Demos. That was one of his names. In the languages, the letter D and the letter T, and just a little bit of linguistics, the letter D and the letter T has a relationship. So if you take the D out of Demos and put a T, you have Timos. And if you take the S off the Greek pronunciation of the word, you will have Timo. And that was the equivalent in ancient Kemetic of the name of the one God in Kemet, meaning the one God who created man in his own image, who shaped and molded man in his own likeness. And that may be familiar to persons who follow the Bible, the creation story. That is the evolution of the story itself. So the Greeks did not invent or create the word demos, which led to the word democracy. The meaning of that term in ancient Kemetic is something like humanity, man, woman, child, community, unity, unit, the people, who were molded and shaped from the original man
who was their forefather, which is why that term has its meaning. So we can understand from that perspective that the Greeks did not give us democracy because it was a collective unity in ancient Kemen, ancient Africa, since Lord knows when. So from that perspective, we understand what democracy really is, that this democracy had already been around, had already existed. So if you take the vote and tell the people in this country that without it, you have not a democracy, that's not necessarily true. Voting has become a part or parcel or part of the system, the true form and system of what a democracy is, meaning the power invested in the people, or that the people control the power. And so those who they selected to orchestrate the system through checks and balances, that is what a democracy is. Because when you're not doing your job, you lose that job. Now, there's been this thing about recalls and shit, recalling someone, getting X amount of signatures and so forth and so forth. Yeah, that may be somewhat rational, practical. Which may lend some type of defining of democracy. So if you vote someone in and they're not doing their job, then they lose that job. Now let's take Libya, that this government indirectly overthrew and had its leader, Muammar Gaddafi, assassinated. Muammar Gaddafi authored a book called The Green Book. For those of you who are interested, I would suggest you get a copy of it and read it. And maybe you'll get some kind of understanding of what the definition of democracy outside the pale scope of the American definition of democracy. Libya had come out of the ashes of what we can say sort of feudalistic into a higher form of state existence, and that they developed certain compartments, assemblies or whatnot, councils, if you will, and any other term that you can relate to that that's synonymous to it. And so they had departments for each thing. They had a specific department for the women, women's issues, women's concerns, and so forth. As a matter of fact, in indigenous Africa, where there are notions of implementing something, in some cases, the last committee that it had to go through was the women's committee, in order for it to pass. That is democracy. In the so-called West, there would be no need for the feminist movement if that existed in the West. So the question is, why is there a feminist movement? And do democracies precipitate feminism? Is it that a patriarchal regime, white male patriarchal rule, is the point of origin for what became known as feminism, the movement, the feminist movement? And all of these white women in history who had come about in terms of women's suffrage, Susan B. Anthony, and some lesser known figures, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, And there was a lesser known one, but she was too militant to be acknowledged perhaps on a coin or in history. Her name was Matilda Jocelyn Gage. And she wrote a book, Woman, Church, and State, the original expose of male collaboration against the female sex. So if this was a democracy, would the feminist movement actually exist? Because as I said, democracy, the definition of it means man, woman, and child. But in the patriarchal male rule, it is man and child. Which is why today women are coming, or so-called coming of age. Recently, there was some celebration, I believe, in the women's version of the NBA. You know, equal pay. 50 years of so-and-so, so-and-so, and women's equal pay, women's rights. I haven't even gotten around to racism yet and the conditions and treatment of black people. We may have to do a part two. What I'm doing, or what we're attempting to do here, is set the tone using white people and the contradictions that they've had amongst themselves. And ask the question, if all that has been in static, if all that has been a battle, do we live in a democracy? Or is it a slick form, a sophisticated form of anything but democracy? Specifically, what is referred to as fascism. And what is fascism? Fascism is defined as when the government and the corporations merge together and run shit.
Wow.
Go ahead, Conrad. What we got?
I just want to say, if everybody who want, if you want to got a comment or you want to participate in tonight's topic, press 1 to participate. Yuhuru.
Yeah,
Black Power.
Right on. Right on. And that's right. And that's what this is about. This is no challenge per se. So if the government and the corporations combine and they run shit, that means this could not be a democracy. So the question is, has that been the case? Go ahead, Conrad, what we got?
Got a caller.
Okay. Whatever you call, caller, and give us your question, your name, your question, your comment.
Yeah, good evening, Solution. Yeah, I just think I was trying to catch the gist of what you were saying, but you know, they have honor killings in countries that are not, that don't claim to be a republic / democracy, because America is not a complete democracy. It's representative also. So, but the thing of women, and I don't know
hold
if
on
you...
For a second. Hold on for a second. Explain to those who are listening, or give an example what an honor killing is.
Well, an honor killing is practiced in a lot of the Islamic nations, whereas if a woman defies the order of the men, that is that, like, say, particularly in dating and marriage, if she marries someone other than who the father and the family prefers her to marry, well, they consider it shame. She's committing shame upon the family, dishonor upon the family, and therefore they can actually take her life. So in those, go ahead.
No, now we're getting somewhere. Now we get.
Yeah, I thought I heard you say.
No, it's all right. No, I was just saying. Okay, now go ahead. Now, what was your comment that you were trying to make? Now that you explained what an honor killing is.
Yeah, in America, which are horrible, by the way, but in America, see, women were given a lot of freedoms, and I'm going to say undeservedly, because America really promotes freedom, you know, because it's kind of based on the Judeo-Christian ethic that the freedom of the individual is paramount, and thus, but I think the thing is understanding that women are fully human just like men are, and they're going to want power. Women are as tyrannical and dictatorial as men are. But it's just that women don't have the power generally to conquer nature. They don't have the power to conquer women, and they don't have the power to conquer men. So women are assigned by nature to a subordinate position. They can't provide the very things they need for themselves to survive. You never find women outside the group. Women just don't do well by themselves. And so I think that we need to look at the fact that men always give more. When we talk about men giving their lives in war, and we don't generally raise that issue when we talk about women wanting freedom. But see, when women want freedom, freedom means, or equality with a man means that women should be put to all the accountability and requirements that men. And just one final thing. If you go to the U.S. Selective Service Administration website, only men have to register for a draft. And that is amazing in the age where women have equality, but they don't have to register to give their lives like men do. So I think we need to look at that much more carefully than just kind of smoothing over it and saying women have been mistreated. Women are, in essence, trying to recover the same position they had prior to women's suffrage. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, your a classic example of what I mean by white male patriarchal rule and dominance. You said that women wouldn't fare well at all only amongst themselves. And you said that the law of, you mentioned the laws of nature or natural law. Well, it would occur to me that the men wouldn't survive or do well on their own without women due to the laws of nature. Because if they did, then they would die out because there would be no women to reproduce themselves with. You see, so it's a combination of things. This is what I mean. This is totally juxtaposed to what they may say Eastern or Oriental cultures, which is why there's never been a female pope. But in ancient Africa, there were female priestesses who had the measurement of male priests because it was simply about a way of life, what Europeans now refer to as religion. You see, so what you've clearly been an example of what we're talking about here. And so the question is, from that perspective, is it a democracy? It can only be a democracy by specific definition from the perspective of white male patriarchal rule. And like I said, I haven't even gotten around the black people yet. So we know if white women been catching hell since Greece, and before that, sheer barbarism. So what would that mean for black women once they had been entered or injected into this same system? So that in itself right now proves that we could not be living in a democracy. It is a natural law that a man is physically stronger than the woman. It is, so therefore, it is only natural that a man would take, would gain the knowledge of metal, first of all, and then gain the knowledge of how to smelt that metal, and then turn that metal into a specific type of shape of an object that we call today the axe. And would take that axe And naturally, in his environment, if he lived in areas of wood, he would take that axe, because that axe meets the environment. And he would have the sense enough to chop down those trees to create a living space. And so by nature, the women would do what? The women more than likely would think about preserving such things as plants that grow in order to provide sustenance, because they're the ones who bear children. Okay, so these are natural laws here. All the other stuff you're talking about is mechanical law. Those are ideologies. That is a psychology, a premise based on what we understand as a neurotic behavior, okay, which creates nothing but static in a sense. And this is why today you still see the abuse of women. No culture, no so-called race of people are perfect. So neither am I trying to project African culture and African people as perfect. But what I can say is that African culture and African people have been consistent with it. You see, this is why there were kings and queens in ancient Kemet. So much so that in order to become royal blood, you'd have to go through the line of the woman. It had nothing to do with masculinity. It had nothing to do with the libido. It had nothing to do with the ego. It had nothing to do with what we are taught in school as the Oedipus complex. It had nothing to do with that, which is why such characters as Dracula was created. If you look at and understand the movie Dracula, you would see it there. Dracula did two extraordinary things in his movie. He killed one man, and he saved one woman. He spared one woman. Now, can you figure that riddle out? And when you figure that riddle out, you'd understand the whole reason why women have been catching hell in so-called Eurocentric societies. If you go back to Greece, there would be no Joan of Arc. There would be no Eva Peron if they were not for white male patriarchal rule. Now, you talked about iron killings. Which may be more cases than not, which appear to have sound like you were making reference to the Islamic world, okay, the religion or the custom or culture of Islam, okay, that was the perception. Now, what is Islam, and which group of people are we talking about here? You see, but don't get it twisted. In Islamic law, the women are not necessarily portrayed as the West would have us believe them in order to get the women to turn against the men in the Arabic world, because that has something to do with so-called religious war with the Judeo-Christian faction in opposition to the Muslims, because the Muslims haven't bowed down to Anglo-American imperialism. That's what that's about. So what I'm saying here is, if there was a democracy, a true democracy, again, the word demos that the Greeks copied from ancient Kemet says the people. It doesn't say the people and accepting women, because that would meet your premise. So there's been their own contradiction. So everywhere you see democracy around the world, Western style, you'll find nothing but static. Everywhere you find English-speaking people, you'll find nothing but trouble. And everywhere you find capitalism, you'll find nothing but trouble. And you say that America, whatever something promotes freedom or whatever this is bullshit. That's what that is. It has its own specific choice in terms of class structure. Yes, here's the thing. You have to be careful with defining what you mean by freedoms. Yes, we're free to hang out in 24-hour joints. We're free to go buy liquor from 24-hour packaged liquor stores on the corner store in the black communities. We're free to do those things. Get high, we're free to shop, we're free to party, but we're not free to control the power. Because there's a few people who have gotten themselves in a position of the power, and they've enslaved the rest of us. In this case, it would be race and class and sexism when you throw black women into the equation. And I can't make this shit up because history has clearly proved it. This is no mirage. This is no fantasy on my part. This is not some ranting and raving of some angry black man who hate the white man as the devil. His history, his own history, our history, has clearly proven the case to be. And like I said, I haven't even gotten around to black people. I was just using that as an example and asking the question, if this is truly a democracy, then why do women get treated the way they get treated? Not only in the corporate world and the labor world, but also in the church, in relationships and so forth. If this was a democracy, then why are not the women being protected like they protect the women in Islamic countries? So much so that they'll be willing to kill for their women if you put one hand on them. You see, whereas in Eastern cultures, you see a clear difference in the relationship between the man and the woman. As a matter of fact, in the country of India, you know, where this thing was called polygamy and whatnot, where the man has 3 and 4 and 5, where the Bible said that King Solomon had, I believe, 700 wives. Well, in certain places in India, the women can have more than one husband. But in the West, you take those women out of India and put them in America, they'd be called whores in the men. They'd be called whores. You see? So that's what that is. It is a clear psychological dichotomy between Eastern people and Western people. Western people have copied a lot of what Eastern peoples have always stood for, but they fail miserably in trying to actually implement it. So let's take the U.S. Constitution and let's examine that and see if we live in a democracy. To begin with, the Constitution wasn't written for everybody. The Constitution was based on race and class. Well, we know what they thought about black people. They weren't fully human. But what did they think about the rest of the whites, those who got behind closed doors and were the stockholders in the companies in the beginning, such as George Washington? He was a shareholder. So what did he do? They got behind closed doors, and most of them, if not all, were what is known as Freemasons, Scottish Rite. So when they hatched it out, they came out. And as a matter of fact, there's a diary that was kept, I believe, by Thomas Jefferson or one of them, where they were going back and forth writing letters after the aftermath. And they were literally talking about how it came out, or what you think about the final draft. Well, in so many words, it's right on. It's right up our alley. When they were saying our allies, they weren't talking about everybody. So we know they weren't talking about the blacks. We know that already. That's a fact. I can't make that shit up. So they must have been talking about the rest of the whites, the poorer whites. And if so, and if not so, then there would have been no need for Shays' Rebellion or Roger Bacon, let alone John Brown. There would be no need for none of them. There would have been no need for Susie B. Anthony and all the rest of them. None whatsoever. They would have been irrelevant if that Constitution was written for everybody. So what did they do? They cleverly worded it so where they can have loopholes for themselves and only amongst themselves, which leads us to the Supreme Court and how that came about and where they copied that from. They copied the Supreme Court. The whole structure of the Supreme Court was copied right out of what's called the Ancient Committee Mysteries of Osiris. I can't make it up. Go look on the monuments and see what you see. The whole nine. The whole nine. But they failed in trying to actually implement it because they lacked certain things that those Africans had. It was referred to as Maya. The seven laws and principles of Maya. One of those was reciprocity. So they failed miserably because they lacked certain qualities. Instead of quality, They're about quantity. They will take a pack of cookies, a pack of fudge cookies, 10 in a pack, and charge you 99 cents for them. And then later on, take two out of the pack and raise it up to $1.09, which means they saving on material and gaining materially. Cutting back on this, but they're gaining materially. So it's all tied in. So the question is that democracy? Is it? Or is it a sophisticated form of fascism? And I explain what fascism is. I can't make this up. Fascism is a term that most people in America understand as defined a label or placed upon one man named Benito Mussolini, who was the leader of the Italian government or the Italian people during World War II. And so they accuse him of fascism. And there's been all kind of books written about fascism. You can't write a book without, you can't write a book on fascism and not see Benito Mussolini's name in the book. It would be impossible for the West to write a book on fascism and not include him. They can include Benito Mussolini, but they can't include themselves. The British had an empire. They had a large empire. What is colonialism but what? How do you define colonialism? How do you have a colonial education and then expect the people to be your equals when you strip them of the education they were having in the first place? Now ask yourself, is that democracy? So you told the people that they didn't have it, and they said, well, look, y'all can create your own constitution. And so in India, they got their own constitution. What? In the 20th century, after having been there for 500,000 years? That is rather incredible. It is rather incredible. After all of this time, now they know what democracy is through a constitution. But what was the model based on? It was based on the Western concept. So if the people in India would go back to the indigenous ways, and like I said, no group of people have been perfect. So into the caste system, which is no different than what they was doing in Southern Africa, this fictitious fake country called South Africa, as a result of violence, the apartheid system, which is no different than what they referred to in America as the Jim Crow system, as the segregation system. And if you go in Yemen right now in Southeast Arabia, and you see the black people there, and they're going through the same shit there. So wherever you find this so-called democracy, you find nothing but chaos. And it's clear as night is from day. I can't make this up. Now, let's enter Julian Assange into the equation. Who is Julian Assange? Julian Assange is the white dude who had taken it upon himself to expose this sinister, sinister military in the so-called Middle East and its leaders who claimed they were going to liberate the Iraqi people from a tyrant. From an authoritarian, from a totalitarian. So let's see. The present group of whites who run the capitalist system is referring to another man on the other side of the ocean as a tyrant, whereas their forefathers were referring to another man, but it looked just like them as a tyrant and claimed they were living under tyranny. So therefore, was it democracy? No. So what did they do? The spirit of 1776, July 4th, they declared their independence, and therefore that great moment in time, this great and glorious American Revolution, which established American democracy and the founding fathers of democracy. So obviously they didn't have it themselves because it was King George who was in the way. So now let's look at what we got today, Julian Assange. He exposed what the military was doing in the so-called Middle East, particularly Iraq, and who was a female at the time, Chelsea Manning, who couldn't take it no more. So what did she decide to do? she decided to, she had a Jesus moment because she couldn't sleep no more because the Grim Reaper was stalking her in her sleep. And so she just couldn't take it no more. So what she decided to do? The right thing. The question is, did she do the right thing or did she betray her own government? Now, according to the Bible, it was the right thing to do, unless we all confused. So as a result of that, Julian Assange eventually ends up getting what we call kidnapped. Because he had been held out, I think, in the embassy in Ecuador, So we know that it was an Anglo-American establishment that was after him, because after all, it was the Americans and the British who was leading this fictitious war against Iraq, against Saddam Hussein, Saddam Hussein, as they say. So where does freedom of speech start and where does it stop? So what did they decide to do? Oh, accuse him of espionage, the first publisher in the history of the United States to be charged with espionage. Probably be 1917 at the espionage, whatever, somewhere around that. And yet they just totally obliterated, I believe, what would have been his, what, First Amendment rights by the so-called Constitution. The right of the free press, and according to your own Constitution, which protects journalists and journalism and the free press and free speech. Is that where it's at? So what law did he break? So what they did was, it's the same thing they've always been doing. They the ones who wrote those laws, and they put these little other clauses in them that you ain't even know about. So what was that little hidden clause that they used? Well, actually, it's the interpretation of it. Well, see, espionage can also be where if someone sends you sensitive information, even though you had not given it to the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, or the North Koreans, you were supposed to actually notify a high official. And so they fabricated, they created one. It was a loophole. It was a hidden clause that no one knew. Oh, look, we got him now. Now we can arrest him for espionage. So Daniel Ellsberg, who was the first big time whistleblower. Yeah, Conrad, we got somebody?
Nah. I just wanted to come. So you mean to tell me there wasn't no weapons of mass destruction over there?
Yeah, there was. Conrad, there was WMD over there, weapons of mass deception. Get it?
Yeah, they did have
weapons of mass deception. And like we were talking about earlier, propaganda and what it does and the social engineering of a whole populace of people for the most part or collectively. In other words, if it was 100 of them in the room, it got 99 of them because one person by a law of nature knew better. And that's how it works. So Daniel Ellsberg was the original whistleblower. And what did he do? He exposed pretty much the same operations or the same type of cunning maneuvers that they were trying to pull on the Vietnamese people. And what did they do? They threatened to give him 150-something years. And so you know what he did? He said, okay, well, yeah, I caught on to this espionage 1917 thing. So you know what he did? Recently got a hold of some more information, and he published it. He said that he's challenging the state. Got to call the comrade?
Uh-huh.
Okay, call and give us your name, question your comment, and tell us where you're calling from.
Oh, brother Leon, calling from New Orleans. Leon Exibiles, member of the PPP. I'm just tying in on this, this so-called democracy and different layers, and even in the fabrication, up on Saddam Hussein, they had used what they call the propaganda of the media. The media, they got that shit down packed. And not only just the media in America, the British media, the BB, what they call it, the BB, whatever they call it, all those other ones. And look here, and they told the military, we're going to put these flyers out. They were dropping flyers. We talking flyers in the middle of Iraq. You hear me? The CIA was doing it. CIA. And that's where I'm going. I'm about to, you know, I'm out here working. But I wanted to get that in before I go. I'm going to still try to listen with my headphones. So I have to hang up. I got to hang up. I'll call right back. Okay. So, just wanted to add that to it, you know, how they use it. You know, and they've been them same. You look historically. That's how they operate. Mm-hmm. And in the day, they add social media to it now. You know, they want to contradict themselves with, say, Russia stole the election. Help steal the election. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up. You know what I'm saying? For real though.
You might need a part two on this one. A part two and three
on this one. Cause I ain't gonna rush nothing. And the thing is this, you know, we want the people to decide. We want the people to think about it and decide on whether or not it's democracy or fascism. We can't make none of this up. Cause if we did, we'd be no better than them. We'd be no better than them in making shit up in the first place. You see what I'm saying? We'd be no better.
And on the other hand,
And
on the other hand, they're telling the people in the propaganda, we got a better system for y'all than the so-called democracy system. And on the other hand, when they caught the brother, there was no debacle in the process. Oh, and they hung that. They murdered that brother by hanging. That's really that murder. That was assassination. Because they had evidence laid on top of that.
And the people
fell for the shit. But the CIA was on ground too. They had paid informants on the ground, you know, knocking over the statues and shit to irate the people and bring them to move them toward, you know, that cause. Oh, we freed him. And the so-called gold, they claim he had all the gold, which was his right to have all his gold. Where you think the gold went to? Where you think they took that gold to that was in them? Where you think it's somewhere in America somewhere? Some British got some. All of them got some.
Right.
French got some.
That's right.
There you go.
That's what they call booty. Okay. And go to show you how effective we are. What they call booty, we've taken that word and transferred it to our own women. You see? But that's what they call booty. B-O-O-T-Y. You see? So every war has booty. Every war has booty. The victor takes the spoils.
The victor takes
the spoils.
And look at the condition Iraq in the day. Look at the condition in the day. You know what I'm saying?
The Frankenstein effect. Oh yeah, no doubt. You know what I'm saying? And getting back to Julian Assange. I mean, we're gonna bring him into focus. You know what happened, right? As a result of all that, like I said, Daniel Ellsberg. So to prove to the American people that this is a farce, right? The expanding of the definition of espionage, Daniel Ellsberg challenges him on it. So he gets hold of information. He didn't notify no official, government official, whatever, stuff like that, and he put it out. So he's saying, come arrest me. Give me the same charges that you're charging Julian Assange with. Well, they haven't done it yet. You see? And so he had the presence of mind in supporting Julian Assange to get the American people to understand what they did. Julian Assange is no more, no less than a sophisticated form of fascism, disguised under the word democracy. They had what was referred to as the Belmarsh Tribunal. And I believe where he's being held captive, I think somewhere in one of their dungeons in Great Britain somewhere, something like that, right? Now, all of these people got together in Washington, D.C., in Washington, D.C., the crack house. What others know as the White House. And so they gathered sometime this year in January or something, whatever. And Amy Goodman, who hosts it, she has a thing called Democracy Now, who's, by the way, a white Jewish woman. And this is what she said in reference to what the government has been doing to journalists, which therefore they've pretty much eroded the First Amendment. She said out of her own mouth, and listen to how she refers to them. She says state actors are cracking down on journalists. Now, who was the state actors? She says state actors, plural. But one of those state actors she is talking about is the United Snakes of America's government. And the other one is the Brits, the French, and so forth. Cracking down on journalists, how could this be a democracy? That would be fascism. That would be fascism. And the other thing, this thing about Britain having given to the world this benevolent process, this beautiful thing called due process. They haven't even applied it to Julian Assange. They haven't even thought about going through it with Julian Assange, even though he hasn't broken no law. So if he hasn't been given due process, I want to ask this question. Is it democracy? So if you say due process, then it would appear to be that voting ain't the only thing that defines a democracy, is it? Compliments of the Brits and all their shenanigans such as self-rule and autonomy, you know, as opposed to being a colony, a satellite, which is what Israel is today in this place called the Middle East. Israel is no more, no less than a satellite of the West. So they can have reason to be there. So they can have spies right in the midst of the Muslims. The Judeo-Christian alliance against the Muslims. But let's not get it twisted. It may not be a total religious conflict that the Christians and the Muslims have been carrying on for what? 1,000 years? Be going back and forth over Jerusalem. So if you take the case of Julian Assange, then how is it a democracy if you haven't been given the due process? Let alone the lies coming from the CIA. Referring to WikiLeaks as a sort of hostile state intelligence service, which will give them legitimacy to see him like Al-Qaeda in a sense, or Saddam in a sense, a hostile agency. And then the plotting of his assassination by trying to poison him to death. And the constant hounding while he's being held captive and all the shenanigans and all the lies that they've been using. And let us not forget that Julian Assange is white. And this thing that they've been doing while he's being held captive, a war captive, seen as an enemy combatant. This tactic, this maneuver, this mechanization is referred to with psychic driving. And this same tactic and strategy they used on the black political prisoners that they started rounding up in the 60s. The psychic driving of Geronimo Pratt. In particular, and the audacity to have political prisoners while accusing other countries of having political prisoners and charging them with being authoritarian, charging them with being totalitarian, with virtually a monster fascism. Right there in itself, they've contradicted their own claims of democracy. They don't acknowledge their own political prisoners, even in the UN arena, denying that they have political prisoners. In case in point is Geronimo Pratt, who was 1,000 miles away on the other side of the country when this LaBianca murder thing was going on. Or whatever her name was. Right? So it was clear as night is from day that he couldn't have been the perpetrator. So what else other reasons did they have for setting him up and using a informant to put words in his mouth? What other reason did they have for convicting him for a crime he couldn't have possibly committed? There was no other reason for convicting him but because of his political views, which were contrary to the whims and the ambitions of the state, the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police, which worked hand in glove in a concerted effort to take Geronimo Pratt down. Democracy or fascism is the question. Is it democracy or fascism? Now let's look at what the general public may refer to as, police terror. But let's go back for something. Let us take a look. Let us actually take a look at the voting process. I personally don't vote. But I understand that in this system, in the society, on local, state, and federal level, that black people are going to take part in the electoral process. That is a reality that I accept. And so the people are told that their vote counts, that their vote matters. So now it's gone from Black Lives Matter to Black Voters Matter, and the white folks have joined in on it and said all lives matter. The pigs have even gotten on the axe and made them some t-shirts. Police lives matter. And so forth. On down the line. If I had to make a t-shirt, well, I better not say it because I'd probably be giving something away. Those who understand know what I'm talking about. Now, if we've been told that our vote matters on the biggest election of them all, electing the president, then how was it that George Bush Jr. devil end up winning an election that he actually lost? So how did that work? So how did he end up being president? There's a white investigative reporter named Greg Palast that wrote this book called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. That right there should end the conversation. That should end the conversation. Shouldn't be no debate. But Greg Palast did a good job untangling everything, exposing, you know, the hijacking of a democratic process by Bush in the game. To my understanding, he had a cousin in plates when they called themselves counting the votes. And his brother was governor of Florida at the time. So it seemed like he had family members in place in case something didn't go right. And so they were using all kind of bullshit tactics, especially against black and brown people. There was these strategic police checkpoints. They just so happened to be checking for drivers who were driving under influence. All kind of madness. And so they're telling, who was it that ran against them? Was it, I can't think of his name. You won. You actually won. And he conceded anyway. His name escapes me right about now. He conceded.
Al Gore.
Anyway. Al Gore. That's right. Al Gore. And conceding anyway. So if that was democracy, then how come they didn't do the proper thing and award the presidency to the actual winner if the voters' votes count? Well, some are saying, well, that's just one time out of 100. You know. But on the biggest election, they could not do the right thing. So what did the American people get? 4 years or what? Of the same tyranny that his great-great-great-great-grandpappy George was accusing another George of. So there's three Georges. All of them belong to the same ilk, capitalists. So how did that happen? Why didn't the American people decide it? Why didn't the American people make it happen? If this is a democracy. So the question is it democracy or is it fascism? So they even got even more sophisticated with it. To tell you vote Republican, a vote Democrat. Some go back and forth with the shit. Some who were voting Democrat, and some of them even black, went voted for the Republicans. Donald Trump said that he did more for black people than any other president in the history of the presidency, including Obama. And I ain't heard nobody challenge him on that yet. Here's somebody that they were calling what? Fascist. That's the amazing part. They called him Donald Trump. No, like his man Snoop Dogg says, the Donald. Or Omarosa. You know, his sidekick Omarosa. And here it is calling Donald Trump fascist. So what was fascist about him, black people? If he did more than any other president for black people. So what was fascist about him? Now that's a heck of a predicament to be in. So what was fascist about him? Is it because that the people tried to express themselves after the high-tech lynching of George Floyd, and Donald Trump got what? brutal with them. So that made Donald Trump fascist, possibly. Or he was trying to put a wall up to keep the Mexicans from coming in. Or Latino / Mexicans, the brown people from invading or bombarding America and bringing crime and violence with them. So how could he have been fascist on one end, but the other people on the other end digged him because he was saying this, made in America. No more exporting jobs. None of that. No deep state. None of that. Bring the jobs home. So how could he have been fascist? That's one heck of a chess game that they're playing there. So what made him fascist, though? If he was bringing the factories back to America. That's what you call the Hegelian dialectic. That's what explains that. And the manipulation of a very gullible and dumbed down American population. Who all you got to do is just give them some entertainment as an inoculation to preoccupy their minds. It is a very sophisticated system. Certain groups call him fascist, certain groups call him a good president, and that he was trying to save what they call our democracy. So if he was trying to save, if a fascist is trying to save democracy, then what is that fascist trying to save democracy from? He couldn't possibly be fascist if he's trying to save what he calls our democracy from fascists. Does that sound right? Is it me? Is it us? Or is it them? How could this be? Two people cannot mathematically occupy the same space at the same time. Two people cannot occupy the same space at the same time. One has to knock the other out of the footprints. One or the other. And so the other way that we can look at it is this. The left and the right have both been pimped out by the corporate lobby. And what is the corporate lobby with what? The corporate lobby is no more nor less in what is referred to as lobbyists who court the politicians on behalf of the corporation. For instance, corporations who deal in such things that may harm the environment. And so what do? They get them to lax the laws that have been put in place to protect the environment. And to protect the environment is to protect the people. And yet they've gotten themselves in a position to where they pimped out the politicians on the left and the right. The left and the right. And what do you got now? These environmental disasters that have caused tremendous harm, not only in black communities, but in white communities as well, in rural areas. And these civil lawsuits that end up being taken all the way to the Supreme Court. And what does the Supreme Court do? It threw this shit out of there. Is that democracy or is it fascism? And I said corporations. If you took the Some pronounce it as the Koch brothers. Some pronounce it as the Koch brothers. K-O-C-H. If you take them, and I believe one of them done kicked the bucket, and so we waiting on the other one to do. But anyway, look at what they've done over the years. They've accumulated wealth, and what have they done with it? They've taken their wealth and gotten themselves in a position.
Black Power, Chairman.
Okay, Conrad, what we got?
Got a caller.
Okay, call us, give us your name, and tell us where you're calling from, your question or comment.
I'm bench raising, and I want Aaron to bring
his
boys, and we'll camp out on...
As you were, Chairman.
Okay. Yeah, so if we take the Koch brothers, for example, right, how they've taken hundreds of millions of dollars, right, and pour them into campaigns, right, to do what? To control the political landscape because of their own selfish ambitions, which pits them against the collective masses of the people, right? So, if it's the people against the Koch brothers, then what is that supposed to be called? Is that democracy? Or is it a hijacking of the corporations, which would make them fascists in cahoots with the government, as Mussolini had said and described? And he also said this, that the Americans were no better than me. They were no different than me. The only difference was that they disguised as better than anybody else. But they were fascists too. And some of these, what may be well-meaning white investigators or scholars and whatnot, instead of using the word fascism, they've used a softer term called plutocracy. And if it ain't plutocracy, which in other words, plutocracy just simply means the smallest planet, Pluto, what they were saying was a handful of rich white people was referred to as the super rich, that 1% that the Occupy Wall Street movement was beefing with because they weren't paying their fair share of the taxes under the capitalist structure. So they called it plutocracy because Pluto is the smallest of the so-called nine planets. The other term that they've used is corporatocracy. And then they said, corporatocracy is not quite fascism. That's like saying a shotgun house is not quite a mansion, but it's a house. Both of them have a toilet. Both of them have a kitchen. Right? Bedroom. Right? The structure of it. You see? So they've used softer terms. And so the corporate lobby also through what is referred to as ALEC, something like the American legislative, executive, something like that, or whatever, something, commission or something, where they create all these laws on behalf of the corporations, and all they got to do now is cut deals with the politicians. You know, the politicians become their brokers. You know, and so when they put these committees, these, commissions that deal with law, the judiciary, whatever, right? And they sit up there, and they go to bat for them. The question is that democracy? If it ain't democracy, then what is it? Now, what's going to go on police terror? But I'm going to keep going.
And we're going to, let me add this about the environmental pollution. You know, the civil lawsuits that have been filed on behalf of those who've been affected with these pollutions of the ecosystems, the waterways, and whatnot, you know, some of the largest corporations, like Shell, you know, was dealing petroleum, the refineries and whatnot, you know, the cancer alleys and all this kind of stuff. Some of these meat companies, you know, which have to somehow, some kind of way, get rid of all the slime and filth and whatnot in the process of, you know, turning cattle into some sirloin steak in your grocery store. And the pollution that occurred from that. And the people haven't had no protection because they've eroded the protections that the people are supposed to have. Which now you start talking about human rights violations. So is that democracy or fascism? America has accused China of human rights violations against this minority population, the Uyghur people. That word is kind of hard to pronounce. I think it's U-I-G-U-R-S, the minority in China. And they've accused the Chinese of fascist treatment of this minority population. And I haven't even gotten around to black people yet. Haven't even gotten around to them. So from that, let's go back to the Federal Reserve. I mentioned that early in the game. The Federal Reserve was hatched in response to Yeah, we're in part two. But the Federal Reserve was hatched in response to an earlier version of having a central bank, and that it was like a charter, sort of like the Voting Rights Act, which expires at a X amount of time, and so therefore facing renewal. And so I believe the first one was in 1848, somewhere around there, and then on into the 1860s and whatnot. And as time went by, certain people began to see that there was a conspiracy on the part of what they referred to as the money lenders. So what old man Rothschild once has been heard to have said must have had some validity to it. And how war is worth huge profits. After World War One, I believe, World War Two, who was it? General Smedley Butler went on air and spoke against this conspiracy. That a group of men had come to him and wanted him to throw the government. So he exposed them. Now, whether people wanted to believe him or not, that was on him, on them. And so there's been some of these presidents who were racist to the core, who themselves had said, we must beware of those who are in the process of infiltrating our democracy to turn us all into slaves through finance, getting control
of the currency. And some believe that is why Abraham Lincoln was actually assassinated, not out of some affection for black people, and some white southerner came up and knocked his brains out while he was at some goddamn theater and whatnot and escaped some giant Wilkes Booth or something like that or whatever. It was because Lincoln, I believe, decided to print his own money. So what was the game? Debt was the game. D-E-B-T. And, of course, he got the other one, too. And so some of them had begun to wake up. And so when they tried to renew it, they struck it down. And today that's what you call renewing an LLC. When it runs out, such as what is referred to as Blackwater, set up as an LLC. And when the contract ran out, they had to rename the shit and called it Academy. And what's Blackwater? Nothing but a bunch of mercenaries for hire who had done work in what they called the Middle East and done a lot of damage in Iraq. As a matter of fact, they had come to New Orleans to protect the property classes shit here in New Orleans, and you would find them in the French Quarter to protect the property class, the property class's holdings on things. And so the Federal Reserve had to come back in a much more sinister form. So there was a meeting in this place called Jekyll Island off the coast of Georgia. And these players who were advised to take different arrangements to get there, don't travel together, travel separately, lest you be seen together and somebody start becoming suspicious. Now, there's a book called The Creature from Jekyll Island for those who may be interested in understanding, you know, the logistics of it, you know. But that is how that started. And these were the agents of the Rothschild clan, the Rockefeller clan, the Warburg clan, the J.P. Morgan clan, who back in the 1880s were referred to as the age of the robber barons. So who did they rob? Who did they rob? Had to rob someone. And so the Federal Reserve was set up like that. And it is its own entity. The United States government has no say-so, has no jurisdiction over that. And when you look it up in the yellow pages, don't take my word for it. Look it up in the yellow pages and find and see what you see. It is a corporate entity, a central bank. And that was the whole kick about establishing the central bank to control the money and debt and the exchange rates, which affects the people. The question is it democracy or is that fascism? And as I said earlier, you can't, the people don't vote in the Federal Reserve Chair. Why do people don't vote in the Federal Reserve Chair? If this is a democracy, if the Federal Reserve affects everything, if it's actually the ones who run shit, they charge the U.S. government money buys money. They charge them for every greenback that they print out. People have the people. When I mean to say our people, I mean my people, specifically black people. But the people in this country have no clue. They have no understanding of what they call fractional reserve and how your money in the bank gets loaned out to other entities and that they accumulate value off your currency, and it ends up in their pockets. Yeah, they tell you you can accumulate, you know, so and so, and whatnot, and you know. Yeah, they tell you that, you know, right? Due to the rates and all that, but there's a whole other side too. If this was a democracy, then Nixon wouldn't have did what he did when they got off the gold standard. So we're going to stop right here. We'll be black next week. 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, In Defense of the People Radio. We love what we do as People's Political Party. We consider this as a platform to politicize and politically educate our people, in particular, and any other one of those, so-called non-whites, and those outside of that who may be listening or who may dare to listen due to the circumstances of the situation that we find ourselves in this country. And so we'll see you next week. And we say all power to the people, black power to black people specifically, in Yahuwah rule, in the process of liberation. We out of here.
Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
Let's get down to business.